Hello everyone, this is Giovanni Brito speaking, and I am your host for Season 5 of the International Voices at Queen's podcast. This episode is recorded on the traditional lands of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples. And today, it is my big pleasure to have here with me a Brazilian friend from my home country, Brazil. I'd like to invite to the podcast, Graziella Bedenik. Welcome, Graziella.
Oiê, hi, thanks for having me.
That's great, Graziella. Oh my goodness, thank you for having the time and the patience to come to visit me on the podcast. It looks like we're gonna have some really great fun time here today.
I hope so.
Yeah. Well, the first thing that I'd like to ask you actually is to give you the chance to introduce yourself a little bit and talk, for example, what's your background, what's your program here at Queen's University. So feel free to share a little bit about yourself, Graziella. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. Easy question. So I'm Brazilian, as you mentioned. I did my undergrad and master's studies in Brazil at the Federal University of Sergipe. That's my home state. It's the smallest state in the country, but it's a great university. I had amazing teachers. I did an undergrad in electronics engineering and then a master's in electrical engineering. And now here at Queen's, I'm doing a PhD in mechanical and materials engineering. But I guess it's more like mechatronics.
Okay.
But yeah, that's it.
Nice. That's great. What a great start. What brought you to Queen's? Was it a particular reason to why you decided to make Queen's your new academic home?
So when I was in high school and decided that I wanted to study technology, I started like looking more at the outside world, I would say, and companies and which places should you go if you want to study this. Unfortunately, Brazil and technology is not the greatest like demand that we have for engineers. So I was outsourcing dreams, I guess, and trying to figure out what to do. And US, definitely something that pops when you first start looking at that.
Yeah.
But I don't have any desire to live in the US, and right now especially. And then, well, what about Canada? It's close enough, still in the Americas, they speak English. So it became like a desire, not even a dream at that point. And then I went to university, started studying, and I met a professor from Queens, actually, in Brazil. He's Brazilian as well, but he was visiting my university in Brazil. And he was great. I was like, okay, that's like a connection I have. Maybe that could turn into something. And I was maybe in my second year of undergrad studies.
Oh, wow.
And now that professor is actually my husband's supervisor. I don't work with him, but I was able to know about Queen's because of him. And then, well, my husband came to Canada to study with this professor. I was like, okay, I wanted to go to Canada, and now I'm married to someone that is in Canada.
So you better go to Canada.
I'm going to Canada, I guess.
Nice.
Yes. And then I came here in 2022 for a conference. Took advantage of the opportunity. I was in Ottawa, but then I said, okay, cool. Let's visit Queens. Let's see what it looks like. It was great. Like I really like the people, like the city. Kingston is gorgeous. Met
Absolutely.
Super cool labs. Like, okay, this seems to be a great fit.
Nice. And wait, so let me just come back to, okay, your first year undergrad, you've started as probably a summer researcher or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, kind of. It's a bit different in Brazil, but let's go with that.
Yeah, but then in your second year, you've made some international connections.
Yeah.
That seems to be like a very promising career.
Oh.
You know, when the first couple of years of your undergrad years, you've doing that much. That is significant.
Hopefully. Yeah. I hope the universities think the same. And when I finish my PhD, they hire me.
Of course. And was it like the application process okay for you?
Oh, it was nice because I met the professor while I was in Canada. Like I was visiting. So I had the opportunity to meet my current supervisor, Professor Matthew Robertson, in person. Nice. So that was great for both of us.
Nice, perfect.
We hit it off like instantly. It was a very smooth conversation. He had
quick click.
Yeah, exactly. Like he had an interesting project, interesting ideas. He thought I had interesting ideas as well. And well, 2 years later, I started my studies.
Perfect. Good match. And now you are here at Queen's, involved with many, many, many amazing, cool initiatives, right?
We try.
Which I'd like to talk about some of them today. And the first thing that I wanted to ask you, it's about the work you develop on empowering students, right? And popularizing science, I'd say. So can you tell us a little bit about your work advocating for women in STEM? I believe you do some work about that. Can you give us also maybe a brief overview about your current projects?
I've been part of WISE, Women in Science and Engineering, and also the Mechanical and Materials Engineering Department is hosting Women in Engineering. Like, they have a branch here. Both are like branches at Queen's. And at WISE, I'm a mentor. So there are undergrad students, usually they look for mentors to help them navigate difficulties while studying in a STEM-related field. And we meet weekly or bi-weekly, depending on how many mentees I get each year. It's a yearly program.
I'm sorry interrupting you, but how can people know about more about these WISE projects?
So WISE has a LinkedIn page and an Instagram page. I believe they have a website as well. And a little bit before the semester starts, like the fall semester starts, they open the registration. And they open for both mentees and mentors. Yes. So if you want to be a mentor or a mentee, you can enroll.
Okay, so listen up, folks. Okay, LinkedIn page. Please keep an eye out for the WISE fall 2025.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Awesome.
And it's a yearly program. So it runs fall and winter semester. And
so
then the summer, you're ready to shine.
Female community.
Yeah. And you can be like a scientist. You can be in industry. You can be a student. It doesn't matter where you come from.
High school students too? Or is it mostly?
I think it's usually undergraduate. But I know they have programs that... It's not the mentorship programs, but programs that are targeted to different ages.
Okay. I actually wanted to ask you something because, and my next question would be related to how do you, it looks to be a mentoring program.
Yeah.
The first one you're talking about, WISE program. Is everybody attending this or participating on this project here from Queen's University? Or do you take like some online people from other countries or something like
there
that?
There are events throughout the year that they invite people, like women from companies or from other universities, or they are working here, students, and there are like talks. They also host a yearly dinner and a yearly brunch, a brunch with industry, and I think night with dinner with industry or night with industry, something like that. Yearly events, they're big and a lot of companies come and you get to chat with like potential employers. It's very cool.
Yeah.
But the mentorship program per se is you meeting with your mentee weekly or bi-weekly throughout the year. And they give you like topics to talk about or little projects that you can develop with your mentees.
Nice.
I usually go towards the route of let's prepare your resume, let's prepare cover letters, let's rehearse for an interview. What are your anxieties? Let's talk about that. Kind of a big sister thing.
Thank you, Graziella. Well, you are also part of the Summer Writing Initiative for Future Thinkings.
Yeah.
I believe SWIFT program. I wanted to talk about it for a little bit, if that's okay. Awesome. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Okay, there you go. So can you give to our listeners a brief overview of this project?
Yeah, sure.
Who's the primary audience of this initiative?
Okay, so just a bit of context. I mentioned before I started doing research very early in undergrad. And, I began growing up, I guess, while the group was taking shape, I would say. And as a senior student, while I was like almost graduating, we would get new students, new undergrads as well. And we, like this group, had a very strong sense of how important it is to train other students. Like, if you want to be a good scientist, we need to start that early on. I see that a lot of students start their master's or even PhD. They have never written a paper. They have never done a bibliographic review. And professors usually expect that you know how to do these things. But no one had like took the time to teach you that. So, and I saw we doing that in Brazil, like in my research group. And I thought everyone was doing that. But then I found out, no, that was like a unique thing. That's why I think I'm so privileged. So I started while in Brazil still doing this like walk and talk sessions with new students that like were coming to the group. Hey, let's talk about like very casually. What is science? What is a paper? How do you write a paper? What is a bibliographic review?
Was it during your master's, you said?
I was a senior undergrad, I would say.
Oh my goodness. Another thing that you were doing during your undergrad years.
Yeah, no. Undergrad was crazy. It was very busy. I was literally living at the university.
I can see that.
I had a camping stove and a camping mattress and I would just stay there.
Oh my goodness.
Forever. Yeah. So I was doing that. And then I came to Canada and I saw the same thing. Like, students still don't get the support they need and they start doing research with no clue what's happening. And if you're an undergrad, it's especially harder because you already have a lot of things going on and everything is so new. It's like you're finally in a more professional setting with the professors and other like graduate students. It can be frustrating. It can be a lot like intimidating. So I was like, okay, can I translate what I was doing to Brazil to here, but with a bit more structure? And then I found out undergrad research here is usually during the summer, so they don't have classes. That's great because then it's less stressful. In Brazil, we were doing everything at the same time.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, they are doing research. It's summer. They are probably interested in learning how to do research and hopefully how to write papers and publish this research. And then this is not an expectation for most of them, that you get to write a paper at the end of your summer internship.
Yeah.
Like, what? No, they're doing brilliant work. Like, Queen's has the IATQ conference every March, I think. I've been an adjudicator for 2 years now. It's amazing what they're doing. They should be publishing it. They should be presenting it. They should throw that out. So,
yeah.
Throw that into the world, not out,
yeah,
not trash.
Yeah, we get it.
It's good, it's good.
Yeah.
So I talked to my supervisor, hey, can I do this? Like, I have this idea. I wrote a little document, like a brief document. This is what I think is relevant for them to learn. And I want to teach them, not inside a class. Summer is beautiful in Kingston. Let's walk and talk, like I did in Brazil. Let's walk around campus. And I had like a little cheat sheet with some topics I need to follow. But then the students, like, they set the pace. They ask the questions. They bring in their own doubts, their own top, like, research topics. How do I relate my research topic to that? I'm not always the most qualified to talk about their research topic, but I try my best.
Who are these folks? Who are these students?
So,
like, coming from many, many fields, I'd say?
Last year, I targeted most to the groups that my lab most collaborated with. So it was like a pilot edition. We had 6 students, two master's students, and 4 undergrad students.
Okay.
And I'm very proud to say that we got 3 conference papers and 2 abstracts published.
Oh my goodness, congratulations.
Seeing results, tangible outcomes.
Hats up again.
Yeah, thank you. This year we're opening the initiative to like Ingenuity Lab students, which is also like a group we have closer contact with, but then it's more students because there are 42 faculty members in the lab, so lots of groups, lots of summer students.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the targeted audience is less experienced or not experienced at all students that would like to learn good practices about writing academically, like scientific writing.
Perfect.
So this you could be a master, you could be a PhD student, doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, oh my goodness, if I had such a program available during my time, I mean, hopefully I learned some things at this point now in my life, but
we're always learning. Yeah,
of course. But you know, just the fact that, you know, we do have people like yourself devoting, you know, extra time, because this is outside of your research hours, of your regular academic hours, and this is just great. I mean, again, listen up, folks, for the SWIFT program. And I wanted to talk a little more now, Graziella, about your research.
Oh, perfect.
If that's okay. You are an engineer, an electronic engineer, yeah. I'd say. And you do research probably with a focus on coding and programming languages. And please correct me if I'm wrong, but your work involves the design, quote unquote, the design and development of autonomous underwater robot swarms for 3D sensing. That's fancy. I want to know about it more. Can you tell us a little more about your research project and maybe sharing some significant milestones that you've accomplished so far?
Okay, that's perfect. So I'm an electronics engineer, as you said. That means I study not electronics. We use electronics, but I study information. That's what we deal with. And since my beginning as an undergrad research, I've been working with instrumentation and measurement. That's basically studying and creating systems that measure information to do something. And then the something depends on the application.
Okay.
In my PhD research, as you mentioned, I'm studying autonomous underwater robots systems, and our application here, our end goal is environmental monitoring. So Canadian lakes are suffering a lot with oil spills and oil toxicity that goes to the animals, to the species, to the bottom of lakes. We cannot always recover all the oil, and our project is trying to target that. How can we set up an autonomous platform that will monitor in real time when spills happen and then alarm the responsible authorities to do something about that in a more reasonable time frame, in a more like quick response time? So that's the end goal here. And for that, of course, you need the robots and you need the sensors. You need the information, because the robots alone won't do anything. That's and these, right. I would say, are the main tracks my PhD project is following, like parallel tracks. Well, cool. Ideally parallel, but it's a lot of work. So what I've been doing so far is 1 year I tackle one, the other year I tackle the other. So first year, it was prototyping for the platform. We are developing jellyfish-inspired robots. So they're squishy, whoa, they're soft. They look like jellyfish. They can actually swim. And as the project develops, now we have a master's student that was also an undergrad student during this project. Tony, he's amazing. He is like such tremendous help and also brilliant. He was one of the students in SWIFT as well. He went to New York to present this project at a big international conference. So we know there is contribution happening there. So this was first year, a prototype development for the platform. Now I'm in my second year of PhD and I'm tackling the sensing part. So I'm trying to develop sensors that will be response to this specific type of oil, diluted bitumen or dilbit, okay, that we are targeting. Canada is the largest producer of bitumen in the world, so it's like a relevant issue to nature, to governmental policy, and to research as well. Mm-hmm. And so far this is what I have achieved, I would say, in terms of the technical parts. We have published extended abstracts, conference paper. I was just in Switzerland at RoboSoft, which is the largest soft robotics conference. It's an IEEE conference. It was great. We got a spotlight paper. I got to present in a big stage. That was my first time not presenting in those small, sadi rooms. Exactly.
Good for you.
I wasn't expecting that, so it was a bit scary, but it went well. It went fine. when you know what you're doing, why you did it, how, and you're really passionate about what you're doing, I think it becomes second nature to talk about it.
Yeah, true.
So I get a bit too confident, borderline dangerous sometimes. But also because I've been doing all these initiatives and teaching people and trying to communicate better how to others how to do that, I think I also get a lot of experience from that.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
That's what I try to tell the students. Once you get really comfortable and you have a lot of practice with something, then it's like second nature. It will appear in your blood work.
That's so amazing. Oh my goodness. Well, Graziella, maybe I'll ask my last question.
Okay.
Now, actually, what's next for you in your career?
Mm.
What are you looking forward
to? That's the
to?
$1 million question.
Oh my goodness, love it, yeah. And so, also, yeah, this is the moment where I ask my guests, the guests in our podcast, if also they have a piece of advice for those seeking a career, for example, in science, in engineering, for example. Do you have a couple words about that
sure,
as well?
Sure, I always have words.
Nice.
Okay, so what's next for me? Since I started doing research in undergrad, I think I had a lot of, as I mentioned, a lot of privilege in seeing the transformation education did in my life. I want to be able to give that to others. So being a professor, having my lab, and being able to give to other people who, like me, maybe didn't have a lot going on in their lives, and then education came in and transformed everything. And like it gave them a second family, gave them purpose, gave them passion. I want to be that person in others' lives. And I think the university environment is so cool. That's where knowledge is born, right?
Absolutely.
And you get to engage with like new generations and new technology. So I think it's like, as we say in Portuguese, you have the faca and the queijo na mão, the cheese and the knife.
You just need to cut it and
exactly.
Move on.
Make a sandwich.
Yeah.
So,
cool.
I mean, it's fun. I want to have a fun life and do fun stuff. And I think science is a lot about that.
Oh, yeah.
And that would be my advice as well. If you want to pursue a career in science, make sure you're having fun. That was the first advice my first supervisor had for me when I started in his lab. Said, oh, you did this. Sure, nice. You did it well. Did you have fun? And I said, oh, I had lots of fun. Okay, so then you are in the right path. If it's not fun for you, can you make it fun? If not, maybe you should start pursuing something else.
You know, I just cannot believe what you just said, because
oh.
This is my basic philosophy that I use in my everyday life in the department.
Amazing. Perfect.
I always tell people, hey, are we going to have some fun? Because if there is no fun, I'm out.
Yes.
I echo what you just said. I don't know, 1,000%.
Perfect.
That's so amazing, Graziella. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
This was a really pleasant conversation.
It was.
I really loved having you here. And I just can't thank you enough for having the time to come and visit us here.
Thank you for inviting me.
International Voices at Queen's Podcast is a supportive listening space for members of the Queen's University community, especially those engaging in language learning and those seeking to increase their intercultural awareness. This podcast is brought to you by the Queen's University International Center and by Student Academic Success Services. The beautiful music that you hear on the background was composed by the musician, composer, and music producer from Kingston, Sadaf Amini.